Okay, I believe we're a few weeks late, and I'm not sure how far we'll get in this. But we talked about discussing investments. Maybe it doesn't matter because I felt Brother Myron hit it head on, and about the next Sunday morning in Sunday school, we had a pretty good, at least, introduction to this discussion. I have a friend I grew up with him. He took over his father's farm. He married well, as they say. And I remember growing up, he kind of had he had the opportunity to live on a dream farm. Now, this wasn't a dream farm to the dairy farmer. The land wasn't the best. It's kind of back in the sticks. But they had the best deer hunting in the whole area. It was excellent hunting ground. Lots of woods. We spent many a Sunday afternoons going through those woods and but he got married and took over the family farm. And he married, well, his father-in-law became, I'm not totally sure on this, but by all indications, he's become his banker and his financial mentor. And his father-in-law does not see value in deer hunting ground. And about that time, or not too many years after he took over the farm, suddenly many hunters down in the cities in southern Wisconsin saw a lot of value in deer hunting ground. And so, remember, he took over the home farm, and so much to his family's displeasure, he sold this high dollar hunting ground and bought more farm ground. Let's make sense for farming, right? There's a mentality behind that. He told me, "Is my father-in-law tells me you have to stay in debt at an uncomfortable level. It has to be just a little bit uncomfortable. Because then you're driven to make money, to stay ahead." I believe this man, and from what I've told, this man is very wealthy. I don't know. I have not looked at his books, nor do I have the desire to. But I believe he's missing something. In the end, you're going to be further ahead. I guarantee that if he carefully follows his father-in-law's advice, he will probably, there's a good chance he'll be among the wealthiest of my classmates. And that's fine. But Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." That takes more faith than we have some time to recognize that. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things for which he possesseth. And that comes right before, then he went on. That was that statement. Jesus went on and gave that parable about the man who was going to tear down his barns and build bigger. Then Jesus also taught on the parable of the unjust steward. And sometimes we know those parables so well, and I think we need to spend more time meditating on what Jesus is teaching. But I'm going to read some verses after that. Luke 16, if you want to follow along. Luke 16:9. For I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give that which is his own? And this is another teaching of Jesus. And I guess as I was studying this, I think it's something that each one of us has to make application in our life of the teachings of Jesus. Of covetousness, of where our treasure is, of using the unrighteous mammon that God gave us as stewards for His kingdom. That's what Jesus is teaching here. It's God gives us that to use for His kingdom. And we reconcile in that passage in Luke 12, the man that tore down his barns to build greater. He says, in this, I'll have to turn to that. It's verse 20, I believe. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those be which thou hast provided? And that was in response to him saying, he said within himself, I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. Take mine ease. Now how do we reconcile that with the busyness we create for ourselves, or is created for us? I'm not sure how to analyze all that busyness that gets us to the point of, I guess, how we heard this morning, how Christ can knock and we can't hear because we're pedaling. And I think we can all identify with that. Okay, that's kind of a long introduction, maybe. Second Corinthians 12:14 says, and this is Paul teaching, says, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought to lay up for the parents, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And we see here he's teaching about making provision. And I think an underlying principle in investing for the child of God is that it's for provision and not for hoarding. What is investing? It's spending money while expecting a greater return. I guess I'll just open it up. I'd like some discussion. Seems like so far I've been stifling discussion. What are some principles of investing? I have a few written down here, but I'm sure there's probably some others that... What are some principles we need to consider? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Okay, right. That's I guess we could go right into retirement funds. Get right to the heart of the matter right now. I agree with that. That treasure is different than provision in that context. Okay. Thank you. Are there other principles of investing? For a Christian person, does a Christian's investment should they look just the same as the world, or is there a difference? Okay, I am. Thank you. Anyone else? What's legitimate and good and right? Well, if it said something about lining up with God's Word, I think that's a pretty good basis. I don't know if there's... Okay. Are there legitimate business practices that are not legitimate Christian practices? Do you have something more specific in mind, or is that... Thank you. That's one I have down here. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And you know, I think... Whenever we start talking about this unequal yoke, we start picturing this ox and a horse or something, you know, we can put it back there. We can make sense out of it in that context. But it's difficult for us to bring it up into everyday living. We like to maybe keep... What does that mean? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Okay. Well, if you get a rental agency to do it, don't they just do all that stuff so you don't have to? Yeah. So how about just hiring a property manager? I guess I've always been uncomfortable with that personally. That we'll hire a property manager to do what we don't feel comfortable doing for conscience sake. And when we do that, we're coming to a place where we're going to sear our conscience. Because we are. I don't know if you've read any of those rental agreements. But they say that they're doing it in your name. Okay? So you hired them to do it. They're taking care of that, right? I think that's next Sunday night. But very good. Question. I realize we did not adequately cover this. The purpose is to, of these, I guess, discussions is to keep us sort of like the singing thing this evening. Just keep us thinking. And let's, you know, some of these things, unless we talk about them, are pretty easy to just ignore. And I guess if it brings something up in our lives, let's be willing to face it honestly. One quote I have here is that more men have been ruined by success than failure. A couple other things, principles. Does it work along with a servant attitude, a servant heart? Does the investment test me in feelings of supremacy over others? Another principle is having an undivided heart. Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. I guess probably the underline, I believe I mentioned this before, the thing I think we need to consider is that, you know, our financial decisions, spiritual decisions, maybe not necessarily, but because of ongoing implications, we need to give very careful consideration. And we need to seek counsel, and they may have spiritual consequences. And so I believe that as we, especially when we get into investments and things beyond normal day-to-day living, I think it's very important to seek counsel before taking on major financial responsibilities. And I guess that story I told you in the beginning, this principle is that I'm about to give, I think is what is overlooked when you're keeping yourself in debt at an uncomfortable level. You're not keeping yourself in a position that you're indispensable to the Lord's work. And I believe, and I realize sometimes with counsel there may be periods of time where you'll go into that, but I believe it should be with wide counsel of your brethren. If it's going to make us indispensable to the work of the, if it's going to keep us from being indispensable to the work of the Lord, and if it prevents us, if our investment, our business, or whatever, prevents us from doing the Lord's work indefinitely, it's wrong. Is that too strong? If our purpose is to serve God, and that's what we're here, and to be used as God would lead, and if what we're getting into prevents us indefinitely, don't even seek counsel. It's wrong. I'm sorry about going over time here. I would just like to close with 1 Timothy 6. It's Paul's instruction to Timothy in how to teach all of us. He starts out, charge them that are rich. And I believe if we're honest, we're all rich. And just listen to what he teaches us. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, and that communicate means give to those that are in need. Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And we're looking to the future. That good foundation in God is what we need to be investing in. Let's stand for closing prayer. Brother Nevin, would you lead us?